mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 346. I'm Adam, and I've got to move this window to get my quote. And Death by Scotland. And here's Isabella Pearson.
Don't make me go squeaky voiced.
And Andy Nunny.
It's Scotland. It's meant to be damp.
Stop picking your nose, Andy. And here's Mary Lang.
By the moons, I honour thee.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
You sound like children.
Yes, this week we're going to look at two stories because we couldn't do it last week because of some convention thing we had to do.
I enjoyed that last week.
I'm joking, Kirby. He's very touchy, isn't he?
Last week was really good. I must admit, Kirby's right. Last week was really good.
It was really good fun. Right, so let's get on. Straight in to Empress of Mars. We're going to attempt. This is something, listeners, viewers.
I have not watched it.
I don't
Empress
care. Well, you should have done.
You didn't watch it?
I didn't watch it.
Slacker.
Yeah, what we're
going to. And you call yourself a Doctor Who fan.
Well, I can't even get into it.
But she doesn't.
What we're going to try and do is a little bit faster than normal, but as I say, it's going to be. We did discuss
okay,
this
start,
off
start at, talking oh, real fast. Jesus come on, Christ. Talk fast.
Right. So. We start with, apparently, the NASA building with the wrong font,
Master.
According to Kirby.
Oh, yes. Okay, you know that.
Yes, I do occasionally see posts of yours. That's right. There's a countdown in NASA and the Doctor Show. Oh, for God's sake. We're not going to get through this. Where are we? 39 seconds. We've had three masters already.
It doesn't make sense because they show the VAB, the Vehicle Assembly Building, which is in Cape Canaveral, and yet this is the sort of thing they'd be doing in Houston.
Oh, well. Oh, what? Okay. Andy, none he doing. He just,
let's move on.
He's just hung himself up from our call. That's right.
Yep.
Oh, grief. Right, hang on. I think he might have pressed a button on his iPad. Right, just add Andy back to the show. Silly man. Right. So, as we were saying, they're in a fictional American stroke NASA base. What do they call those things? Mission control place. And the Doctor shows up and, I don't know, there's some sort of probe to Mars, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't go.
It is a new a Mars probe with a new camera that can see underneath the ice.
I remember now.
So the Doctor and Bill and Nardole go, although Nardole sort of ends up back in the TARDIS somewhere along the line.
Yes, the Doctor sends him to go get rescue equipment.
But unfortunately, he presses something, and the TARDIS dematerializes.
He doesn't press anything.
Why did the TARDIS dematerialize?
Oh, yeah, I did.
The TARDIS decides to leave on its own.
Okay. The TARDIS decides to leave on its own with Nardole inside.
Yes.
And the Doctor goes around a corner and a sort of ice warrior shows up. And then a man in some sort of Victorian space costume also shows up.
I love that space suit.
It's just very cool. Cool.
That mustache.
And like I say, Nardole goes back to Earth basically, and the Doctor makes friends with this ice warrior. Who he tells this bloke not to shoot, but the bloke's never going to shoot the Ice Warrior. He's actually going to shoot him, because the Ice Warrior is his friend. Meanwhile, Nardole goes to the vault and thinks that the only way he can get the TARDIS back to the Doctor is by asking Missy to give him a hand. And so the Doctor and Bill then have to fraternise with these Victorian explorers, I suppose you'd call them. They're actually soldiers, but...
They're soldiers.
They ended up on Mars, apparently, because... the Ice Warrior was found, and they helped the Ice Warrior get its ship back together to go back to Mars. That's what I gleaned from this story.
Yes.
Yes.
You're correct, Master.
And there's this weapon that they've sort of building. I can't remember what it's called now. It's sort of like the ultimate death weapon, a bit like Death Star, but in miniature.
Master.
Well, they want to use it to mine the underground of Mars.
You can see I've only seen this once, Mary, can't you?
Friday said that they would find, which are gems and gold and all kinds of stuff.
Friday,
so they're using it to mine with.
Yes, Friday. I forgot he was called Friday. I apologise, everybody. I've actually only seen this episode once. So I'm sort of just paraphrasing and skipping through bits that actually jog my memory. You immediately become a little bit suspicious of this ice warrior who's a bit battered. He's got a broken eyepiece thing. And there's a lovely homage. There's a picture of Queen Victoria played by a certain actress.
Pauline Collins.
Yes.
The gun is called the Gargantua.
That's it.
And
yeah.
And the Staggering Stories people posted a picture last week when they were at the experience a few weeks ago. Were you with them, Andy?
No, I wasn't.
Were you with them, Mandy? Sound like you said that.
But they took a picture of something which they didn't know what it was, but it was underneath a bunch of tarps. And you can tell now we've seen the episode. It's the Gargantua. You can just tell from the shape of the tarps.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's probably about to go on display for the last few months.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kirby. Ashley Hughes says, hello. This week's episode looks very much like Wales, not Scotland.
Yeah. Probably is.
Yes, that is kind of true. It does kind of look like
how do you know? You've only been to Wales once. And you certainly didn't go to any countryside.
I see pictures.
So, like we say, I was trying to say.
Would that be a sperm whale or a whatever?
Moving on.
Whatever.
All right, yeah. So they find this sort of sarcophagus thing with a sort of what looks like a stone ice warriorette queen.
I didn't think she looked stone.
She looked like stone.
Or even stone.
Or gold or whatever it was. It was she was petrified. It wasn't. Didn't look, it look like an.
She was never scared.
No, she wasn't.
So, yeah.
It was gold. It was gold. It wasn't stone. It wasn't petrified.
Yeah,
it was gold. Like,
gold.
Yeah, it was golden.
So that was. Is that just to keep now, the sidemen away?
Some people have said. Oh yeah, good point. Some people have said that one of the gems on the outside that is pried off by the one soldier looks like the gem. The crystal that the third doctor was always carrying around with him. I forget what that crystal
was
called.
What, the Metabilis crystal?
Yes, Metabilis crystal.
It's blue. It's going to look like that, isn't it?
Well, I looked at this. I thought of Rassilon's tomb.
Thank you. I thought of that too. What an Andy. Yeah, where's my little pointing out?
Oh, ding. Yes. Rock and roll. By the way, my video's gone blank. Can you still see me, guys?
Sadly,
we can see your left ear and the sky.
Now, can we just go back to the left ear in the sky, please?
Okay, thank you. Fair enough. Yeah.
Anyway, back to the story. Right, so I think there's a point in which one of the soldiers goes to, because they're thinking money, 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 because this is a gold thingy and all the jewels in it.
Jackdaw is an obvious name, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes?
When Fred was watching with me yesterday, she was wondering about all the odd names for the soldiers.
Yeah, I was going to ask about
really
that late.
Sorry,
I was
names.
Editorial times. They didn't really.
You didn't
think
see
of
the story,
so
sweetie.
Well.
You didn't see it.
Well Jackdaw's obvious, isn't it?
You've watched The Ice Warrior, haven't you?
Yeah, I watched it.
I don't know about Victorian times.
It was the
Jackdaw. Jackdaw is a thief. That's a nickname for thief. So Jackdaw, the fact that he was the one who went and stole the gold and the jewels is perfect sense, because a jackdaw is like a magpie who will go around and steal small items. That's what that means. So that makes sense. So that's
there's a lot of strange names. I was going to ask about whether they were typical Victorian names or whether they're whether they're meaningful in some way.
They're probably just Gaedus sorts of things.
Okay, Mary, what are the names? Did you not understand them?
Ketchlove.
Yeah.
Ketchlove. And God's Acre.
I don't know. Andy?
Well, God's Acre is actually a religious reference to, I think it's the Garden of Genesis. It's God's Acre. I think that's what that remains to.
Okay.
What was the other one?
I mean, another one was Ketchlove.
Ketchlove.
And I just wondered if these had significance or whether they're typical Victorian names. I don't know
that one. That's a new one to me, I must admit. No, okay. No, that one.
Back to the story.
Now, I love nearly. The reference to RHIP, rank ethics privilege.
Oh, yes,
another good reference there, Kirby. I'll let him off that one. I'll let him off for that one. That is quite a good reference.
Ding.
No.
Ding.
No. Andy got a ding because he come up with a point I was going to point come up with myself.
Oh, maybe I should.
Which story is that? Because that's
Death of the
Daleks.
Would you say, Kirby?
I said Death of the Daleks, didn't I?
Day of the Daleks, actually, wasn't it?
Day of the Daleks, okay.
So, for Kirby. Right, so there's a point in which one of the soldiers, don't he get shot? But anyway, I could just see him, he's flopping down, and because one of them, the other soldiers
got knocked
out.
He was given a sleeping draft.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. So another soldier.
That's part of the whole RHIP thing.
Okay, yeah. Anyway,
that's it. One thing that's wrong.
What?
The guy called the sergeant major sir, which is incorrect because sergeant majors are not commissioned officers, so therefore they do not get called sir.
Oh, there you go.
What do they get called?
Maybe they did in the Victorian age.
No, it's not because only a commissioned officer is referred to as sir.
Well, what are they supposed to call them?
They're called, actually, it should be called Mr.
Mr. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Can I give him that?
No! Right. Right, so, yeah.
So that's the only inconsistency you could find.
So, anyway, the Metavidas crystal is pulled off the side of the sarcophagus.
Are the uniforms proper?
Looking back to the Michael Caine Zulu film, they look about right.
Okay, never mind. So, because they've started touching the sarcophagus, the Ice Queen comes to life and she's a bit annoyed.
Empress.
All right, the Empress. Still an Ice Queen.
Empress. You could also call her the Queen.
And she kills people and they sort of roll into little balls, which is really weird.
I love that.
That was really good.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like there's nothing left but the uniform and helmet all rolled into a neat little pack.
Yeah.
You can see some arm tissue and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see any of that.
And they bounce around nicely.
And the Doctor and the Empress have a few interests. Who played the Empress? Anybody we know? Great.
Don't think so.
I didn't recognize the name, but I don't know British actors.
She was really good. And the Doctor, there was quite a good standoff scenes between her and the Doctor. What was slightly disappointed was that the Ice Warriors didn't talk like that.
Yeah, they didn't hiss. Yeah. I found that.
They did a little bit.
Unfortunate. Yeah, well, not enough.
So, yeah, this is
later on. I mean, this is way after the Troughton stories, but obviously before the Pertwee stories.
Yeah. That was another little thing, the homage at the end, which was.
I love that.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
I've got some stories to tell about the con and that once we're done.
The bloke you thought was in charge was in fact not in charge because he was a deserter.
He's a deserter.
I'm gonna get shot. Sorry, that was a little homage to the war games. Deserter. Don't you remember that? That's how the Doctor was going to get shot by firing squad. No, not the Doctor. It was Mr. Jamie was going to get shot by firing squad because he was a deserter. Somehow they end up locked in a cell with this deserter chap. So the other chap takes control and what's happening there? Where was that? Oh, there's a big sort of trying to come up with a plan to fight against the Ice Warriors. Of course, there's a plan the Doctor knows is futile. And I'm trying to just kind of rolling through here because I can't remember much of the story. Oh, yeah, then the gargantuan gunny thing was brought in, and what are they going to do with the gargantuan gun thing?
Use it against the Ice Warriors.
What?
Blow the roof of the caverns open.
They're going to blow the bloody doors open.
Later the Doctor points it at the ceiling so that tons of ice and rock will fall down on them.
Okay.
But did you see any ice on the planet?
No.
No.
Which makes me wonder, how was he going to rain ice down when there wasn't any?
Ooh, yeah, Mary.
I'm simply saying what the doctor said.
Okay. the ice might have been in the rock, invisible.
Well, there's no water on Mars, so there can't be ice.
Yeah, that is kind of true.
Okay. Anyway, the bloke.
There is ice in the ice caps.
Is there?
And that's what eventually that ice cap covers the God Save the Queen.
Okay.
Yeah, eventually. But him blowing the roof True. Off, he True. Said was going to bring down ice, but there was no ice.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, the chap that was a deserter ended up being quite friendly with Her Majesty. And you're going to have to help me out with this one because I really can't remember much of the story at all.
You should have watched it a second time.
I didn't have a chance to. But the doctor sends some sort of transmission somewhere. And, what happens? Come on, Mary, help me.
Well, the transmission, I was unclear as to who's being helped. Are the Brits being helped, or are the Ice Warriors being helped as well?
I think they're all being helped out because of the way that Simon Pegg wants to do it, is to bring them all to their senses. So that's how it works.
So whoever picked them up was picking everybody up.
Yes,
those hundreds of thousands of ice warriors along with the Brits. Because remember, those ice warriors are like many, many thousands.
Yeah, but the Brits aren't going back to Earth. The Brits are going to go along with the ice warriors.
And also the ice warriors are all...
Centauri takes them. Yeah.
The ice warriors are also still frozen, so they're not coming out yet.
This is basically a prequel to the Peladon stories.
Yeah.
This is how ice warriors became civilized, sort of.
Yeah. So this is why we see the lovely Alpha Centauri coming up on the screen.
That was brilliant, that was.
Is it the same actress playing the voice?
Yes.
Isn't that marvelous?
Yes. That was so good,
that was.
Yeah.
That really was a real throwback. We had the RHIP, we had this. This really was back to the 70s.
Yeah, and the fact that they didn't show it in a very clear picture of Alpha Centauri, obviously because everybody thought that the costume and that was a bit absurd, helped the situation quite well.
Master?
No, it was good as well. They did it at the end, didn't they? Because in the beginning, you just heard the voice. It's only towards the end.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But
no, all you see is the eye.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. At least they didn't go to... They showed it in a sort of a ropey... TV version, so that it didn't.
Yeah, you don't see the rest of Alpha Centauri, so you don't have to laugh at the shower curtain.
No.
Yeah.
Well, at least the old fans, Adam, the likes of you and me, us old people, as against these youngsters here, we can remember that.
Yeah, but it's nice. So that wouldn't affect any new viewers.
I believe I've mentioned this last week, but I'll mention it again.
Oh dear.
I know I mentioned it while talking to the Earth Station Who people. We actually saw this image of Alpha Centauri's eye in the original trailer with scenes from everything.
Did we?
But nobody realized it was Alpha Centauri.
Okay. Thank you for that, Kirby. Right, so...
Ding, ding, ding.
No.
No.
Like you say, they put God Save the Queen and it got covered by the ice cap. What was that for, the God Save the Queen thing? Why did they put that there?
That was to give the Alpha Centauri ship a marker so they would know where they were.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Nardole arrives back with his little helper, Missy. And the doctor's a bit worried by this. And that's essentially the story. So I did really well there. I went through that quite quickly, didn't I, Isabella?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say what, obviously having only seen it properly once and how I felt after having seen it properly once, I absolutely thought it was brilliant. I thought it really did bring back the Ice Warriors in a more satisfactory way than the previous time Mark Gatiss brought back the Ice Warrior. Although that was a good story, but it was a bit of a horror story. This is more like an Ice Warrior story was when they were in it. Well, obviously we've seen Troughton stories. And I just found it quite intriguing. I thought it was quite nice that they brought a more female character Ice Warrior, and the fact that it was the Empress, and I thought she played the part brilliantly. I thought the costumes were great, and all round I loved the cinematography as well of the story. Bearing in mind it was a bit of like a Base Under Siege sort of thing, but all in all I thought this was proper Doctor Who and I really really liked it. What did you think about it then, Kirby?
Loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, and loved it.
Did you like it?
Now, we were sitting at the podcasting table. You know, we just the Earth Station Who people had a table in the hallway, and we were sitting there, and the episode magically appeared on my computer somehow in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. So I started running it forward, and I was also looking at Facebook. I heard this rumors of Alpha Centauri, and so I ran it to the very end, and I didn't have audio on or anything, but I went, what? Ah! And everyone, fortunately, nobody at the table was worried about spoilers, so everyone went to
stop messing around with your microphone.
We were all just amazed and loved it. That evening, they did show it at the convention in the main ballroom, but I think we missed it because we were off at dinner. So we watched it back in the room. I was staying with the Earth Station Who people. And unfortunately, while watching it, just like last year where I watched – what was I watching last year with them? I fell asleep while we're watching it, so I didn't get a chance to actually see it until Sunday when I got back home from the convention where I saw the whole thing. But just absolutely fantastic.
Andy.
I think it's probably my favorite one of the of this season so far.
Oh, that's well, good,
you,
isn't it?
You said loved it five times. So, yeah.
So I didn't know anyone was keeping
nine
score.
Nine times.
She got it.
Yeah. Okay, right then. Andy, what did you think while rubbing your microphone?
Thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good episode. I thought the Ice Warriors were excellent. I mean, bringing back Alpha Centauri was a real throwback, but anyone who isn't an old fan would be quite happy with that. The only thing I would say, how did the rest of the soldiers get back to Earth?
They didn't. They went wherever Alpha Centauri took them.
Yeah, but so that's it. That's when it. Where do they go? Because we knew that Simon Pegg stayed with the Empress because he
Simon
got the. Where the rest? What happened to the rest of them? That's what I'm. That's
they
the
all
thing.
Went with the.
Yeah, they all went with the Alpha Centauri.
To where?
That's we don't know.
Wherever they went.
Wherever they went.
We might find out later, because there might be another Earth colony that grew up from this particular group of people. But they're all men, so there was no women.
I actually really enjoyed this. I thought it's better than the garbage we've had over the three parts with the bloody corpses, which was utter...
Oh, I hated that. Yeah.
Oh, it's dreadful. But we've had a good sparkling story, a lot of... the throwback to the past has been really, really worked well. I really enjoyed it. I think the Doctor has really come into his own. The Ice Queen, Ice Empress, was excellent. I think that's one of the best Ice Warriors we've seen. Better than, was it Cold War?
Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, Cold War was good. It was more of a horror story.
I enjoyed it more than that. But yes, I think this is one of the best stories I've seen so far.
Andy.
Yeah.
Are you referring to the actor who played Catch Love as Simon Pegg?
Sorry, Mike. I've got the name wrong. I thought it was Simon Pegg.
No, really it's not. His name is Ferdinand Kingsley.
You know what? I looked at it and thought that's Simon Pegg.
Nope.
I really thought
Simon Pegg is too busy nowadays and probably too expensive to be on Doctor Who again.
Too big of a name to be a minor character. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I tell you what. It's the dead ring of a Simon Pegg, though, isn't he?
No. Anyway, right. So,
and also when Fred was watching with me, she was quite amused with the little ways that he was like combing his hair and making sure he looked perfect. It was just.
Yes. Anyway, back to the reviews. Thank you, Andy. I will say it does rather appear. Can you mute your microphone when you're making superfluous noises? What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the two of the three part trilogy are the only dips of this series. Everything other than those two parts, so that's been very, very good so far. So, Mary, hang on, everyone. Good grief, we'll prepare ourselves for this.
Get ready.
Yeah, go on then. Brace yourselves.
A Well, I actually did enjoy it.
Oh my goodness.
Not to what you guys did. Well, because I found it predictable. I pretty much, you know, could guess where it was going to go all the time. And I like to be surprised. So because the element of surprise was never there, that dampens my enthusiasm some. And it harped on old themes. You know, it's like, oh, different races. Let's all learn to get along. You know, all warriors. It's like an old unit story, you know, where the soldiers are constantly, you know, whipping out their guns and ready to.
I wonder what she was going to say then when you said whipping out there.
The aliens. And, you know, then, but, you know, so that to me was all fairly predictable. And like I said, harping on old themes. But overall, I thought it was pretty good. And I was going to ask about the names because I found them to be weird names, but they had a Victorian ring to them. So I didn't know if they were normally Victorian names or if they were put in there for a reason. If Mark Gatiss, you know, was making a joke or something by giving them the names he did.
One of his better stories, got to be said.
Oh, there's another name you missed. Sergeant Major Peach.
Major Peach. Well, yeah. Major Peach. Yeah. What was I going to say? The thing that threw me was the doctor threatening to blow the roof off, which was going to shower them with snow and ice and freeze them, you know, forever. And all I could think of is I don't remember seeing any snow where they came in. And sure enough, afterwards, when they're out there putting the stones out, there really is no snow or ice. And he talks about in the future, you know, the ice cap will cover it. And I'm thinking, well, so what was that threat about earlier? Seems like an empty threat.
Maybe it was an empty threat.
One striking scene in this whole thing that I really enjoyed was when the queen calls on her soldiers, and you have our little Cybermen from Telos moment, you know, when they're all lighting up in their little cubicles. And I thought, oh, here's a throwback. Yeah. But then I wondered when Alpha Centauri was so cheerily offering to rescue everybody. I thought it was at least everybody. She's got thousands of soldiers. And are they all going to, the Alpha Centauri is going to regret the offer, you know, when they all come, you know, marching onto the ship. And to your point, Andy and Adam, wondering what happened to these soldiers. Adam, you said, well, they're all men, so they are going to die out. I don't know how the how the ice warriors reproduce, but they do have their empress.
So if they're ended up like a Mondas.
Yeah, they would definitely keep going, but humans have nobody to reproduce with, so they would die out.
Excellent.
But that's it.
Thank you, Mary. Before you say master, Billy Kirkbright says, hi, getting up because nature calls. I think a number of episodes of this series have confirmed that I'm simply a classic Who buff. I'm going back to, and then he said it again. I'm going back to... And he says, hi, I'm getting up with nature calls. I think a number of episodes of this series have confirmed I'm a classic poo buff. I'm off to bed. Good night. That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Kirby.
If you look closely at some of the Ice Warriors, yeah, I think they had, what, 8 people in costume as Ice Warriors? At least one of the others is another woman.
Okay, and well done, and I bet one of them was also a friend of the show, John Davey, who hasn't mentioned this yet.
Oh, very likely, yeah.
Apparently this one says she saw it. Go on, then, what did you think?
I actually thought it was really good, because, well, I haven't really seen many episodes of the Ice Warriors in it.
You haven't seen any episode with White, apart from you might have watched Cold War but forgotten about it. No, you wouldn't have watched it because it would have been too scary. No, you haven't watched any episodes of Star Wars with the Ice Warriors in it.
Okay, then. None of the episodes of the Ice Warrior, then. And what else was I going to say?
I don't know what else you're going to say. I'm sure you're going to tell me, though, at some point.
Yeah, I probably will.
Master?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I already told you that Fred really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Julia did not, and she has said that she is extremely disappointed with Doctor Who right now and is going to stop watching.
Tell her she's a fool, but in a nice, a fatherly way, so she doesn't get upset.
And she did not watch the one last night, which I thought was good, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. And she was really turned. She did not like Smile
for some reason.
Hmm. Smile? Oh, I hate
it. Yeah, she did.
No, I hated Smile.
I liked Smile. Okay.
And she also, well, she did, she really didn't like anything, and she didn't watch the three month.
Do you know who she reminds me of? Do you know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of Alicia.
Yeah. So, and also she's not going to any more conventions.
Ooh.
So
how are you going to manage? Yeah.
So I guess she's just being, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens after we get a new doctor, because my youngest one, whose name is also Mary, she does not like Capaldi, although she loved 9, 10, and 11. If she might come back to the show, depending on who's the next doctor.
Right. Okay.
Kirby, how many daughters have you got?
Three.
Okay.
Right. Can we move on, please?
My feeling is that if Moffat is trying to prepare the way for the new showrunner and the new doctor, he's doing a very good job.
Yeah.
Because this whole season has been so dead boring that anything else is going to be great. Yeah, that's what I think.
No, that's not the reason. He's doing a good job, but not for that reason.
Doesn't make me dislike Doctor Who. Doesn't make me stop. But I'm anxiously awaiting the new showrunner and the new doctor.
Yeah.
I'm liking the little. Can't hear you.
I can, so it doesn't matter. Right then.
I'm finding the little throwbacks to both old and new Doctor Who in every single story. I'm really enjoying
it. It's okay, because it's quite subtle. New Doctor Who fans won't have got it, but us will. And that is not hitting it into your brain with a hammer. It's just
there's also the little nods to New Who, like the picture of Queen Victoria.
Yeah, indeed. Right, can we get on, please?
It's been pointed out, why did they have a picture of Queen Victoria from
Andy,
Doctor Who?
Andy, can you mute your microphone, please? Thank you. Just carry on, Kirby.
Why did they have a picture of the Doctor Who version of Queen Victoria, but the week before they had the real Churchill?
I don't know. I'm getting confused.
The Doctor Who Churchill.
Right. Because it's a TV science fiction series, Kirby. That's why.
Can we move on, please? This one's got to go to bed at some point. It's got school tomorrow. Right. The next story we're going to review is Eaters of Light, or The Eaters of Light, can you get me one then? Or bring a bottle of Coke in. Oh, Pepsi. Thank you. Shut the door, because I'm talking.
I can get you.
No, Coke.
I've got the glass here. What?
Wait.
I thought you said Master.
No, I didn't. I said no Coke, Pepsi.
Andy, your microphone's been buffeted.
Sorry.
Right.
Sit still, Andy.
Okay, right. So we have a little girl in a sort of ancient worshipping site on a hill who's listening to music and a crow who's going...
And then stones of blood. Stones of
blood. Essentially, It was stones of blood, but not with so much with the crow saying doctor and stuff like that.
It's a raven. I thought it was a raven, actually. But,
I think it's supposed to be a crow.
Yeah, I know. They got corrected later.
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah, so wasn't it the raven that killed Clara? I can't remember now. could be the same. It looks like a raven, like you say. It also could look like a crow, so I don't know. Anyway, Nardol and the Doctor turn up on the same hill, but the Doctor wants to find the ninth Roman legion, and Bill's quite convinced she can find them. And while in the process of trying to find them, finds this very strange woman who originally chases after with a couple of swords. Which leads to Andy, you're rubbing your microphone again.
Andy,
sorry,
cut it out.
As I was saying, she falls down a pit.
They're picks, by the way. They're picks.
Yeah, but this was a throwback to Highlanders. I seem to believe. And there was another story in which they. Thank you, darling. There's another story.
Seeing that Highlanders was. Created because of Doctor Who.
Was it?
The creator of the creator of Highlanders was influenced by Doctor Who, and that's also one of the reasons why one of the characters was named after Jamie.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, I'm just thinking about the falling down the pit thing. That happened in another Doctor Who story, other than the Highlanders.
Creature from the pit.
No, I don't know. Anyway, so she's fallen down the hole and meets a very young Roman soldier.
The other story was the very last story. Bill fell down a hole in the very last story, too. That's how they found the ex-warriors under the cap.
Yes, thank you, Mary. Well done. But that's not the one I was thinking of. I was thinking a bit further back than that. Right, so meanwhile, Nardole has noticed that the crow is talking. And the doctor says, well, crows have always talked. But the doctor's well known for understanding animal speak, isn't he?
I loved his dressing gown.
Yeah.
That's
Arthur
Dent, that was.
Yeah.
Who are you?
It's interesting.
Yeah, I know.
It's interesting the colour is similar to the colour of the costumes of what were those corpsey creatures called again? Oh, yeah, the monks.
The monks, yeah. He's got a strange hat as well.
Yeah. Anyway, Bill, meanwhile, makes friends with the Roman soldier.
And discovers by herself about the TARDIS translation.
Yes,
circuit.
that was okay. I quite like that scene. Where are you going? No, you can't have the iPad. The questions are on it. Come back here now.
I can't believe she hasn't been on other adventures with him and not discovered that before.
Yeah, it didn't twig, did it, until now. But I suppose it wouldn't do, would it? I don't know, actually, would it?
Well, if she's been other places with him, I think...
With aliens, maybe it would do.
Let's think about some of those other stories. They may not have been... situations where it would have been something that came up.
Blah. Don't want anything interfering with the microphone.
Well, in Smile, I mean, do you assume that in Smile they're all talking English there?
I think that she assumed that, yes.
Yeah, that would be acceptable. But when she's met or spoken to perhaps an alien creature,
then
maybe it might have twigged then. But obviously she knows this person's a Roman. He says to her initially, doesn't it? Oh, you're speaking Latin or something like that. Or no, there's something about it. Although it makes a twig. It's acceptable.
I loved her comment that even does the TARDIS even provides lip sync.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was good. But that's the same on Star Trek though, doesn't it? Because obviously Star Trek has a universal translator. So Bill.
Again, notice again this week again. And we had a black actor as a soldier, which I don't know. Would the Romans have had black?
Possibly.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Possibly.
I believe they would have.
We're trying to do a PC revisionist history
I was thinking.
I think they probably did have, because obviously the Roman Empire expanded quite a long way into Africa.
No. To be a Roman soldier, you had to be a Roman citizen. There were no black Roman citizens.
Oh.
You
could earn Roman citizenship.
What colonies would Rome have had? Where were they invaded? Where there would be black men?
The thing about last week I found a little less realistic, because the British soldiers were from South Africa and they had a
probably
black soldier.
So almost certainly would not have happened. But yeah, not that's only almost certainly.
This history is what we're doing.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I didn't find this too bad. I accepted that in this instance they could have sort of brought in somebody from a nation they'd invaded and taken over.
Africans were all slaves.
Okay, mate. Okay, well, fair enough. But we can't hold the BBC back for bringing in ethnic actors. I didn't have a problem with it, to be fair. I don't know how accurate they really want to be, you know. But never mind. He's playing a character, and they climb out of the pit, and they're heading for, because he's told Bill that there's some more of the Legion elsewhere, and he's going to take her to them. Pardon? Sorry, Andy.
Adam, Mary, the last 2 minutes I've not understood a word you've said.
Well, sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
Yes, you might want to get minutes. Closer to your Wi-Fi connection.
I can hear you, Kirby.
Yeah,
I can hear everybody.
I can hear everybody. Funny that.
Okay, I can hear you both now. Okay, fair enough.
All right, carrying on. On the way to where the other Romans are, the creature comes out, quite a cool creature actually, I'm quite impressed with this monster, and it attacks, well, basically the Roman soldier gives his life to save
there
Phil.
There is, Master.
What?
There is evidence that some black Romans married, had children, and remained in Britain after their tour of duty as centurions.
Okay, never mind. I didn't have a problem with it.
I sit corrected.
I didn't have a problem with it either way. So Bill, because just before he dies, he gives Bill the directions to his hidden comrades, but Bill just gets a bit of a touch from a tentacle as she climbs through the hole. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Nardole.
Slime on her.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Nardole are sort of captured by the Celts. That sounds a bit painful, that.
Picks. Yes, they are technically Celts, but they're more specifically Picks.
Okay. They're captured anyway.
I'm just being picky.
Yeah, thank you.
I like the reference. Right now, for anyone knows Terry Pratchett, there's one book where...
He's dead.
Carry on, Andy.
Thank you. They call the guy who's 18 his granddad. There's a book. It's Going Postal, where there's a lad of 26 gets called grandad because the old guy.
Really, you might want to go and get closer to your Wi-Fi connection, Andy.
We can't hear you.
You might, Andy, want to get closer to your Wi-Fi connection because you're going a bit Kirby.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Kino, you're just going a bit funny.
Okay, right. What I'm saying is the fact that it's an 18-year-old lad. He's been called granddad because he's the oldest of the whole troop now, isn't he?
Yes.
And that happened in Terry Pratchett, where a 26-year-old was granddad because they killed all the young ones off.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. Okay. Anyway, back to the story. Right, so the Doctor is sort of introduced to a group of Picks. And the creature appears to be actually in their little cairn thing. There's like a portal, but to the some sort of void, mm-hmm. isn't there? And
yeah.
Oh dear, keeping Andy up.
Oh, we are keeping Andy up.
So Bill, meanwhile, wakes up. Now, what is it? They get to get the slime off its neck, off her neck.
I never understood what that was.
That was a sort of remnant from the monster.
You put it in.
They actually had a hole in the cavern they were in, exposed to sunlight.
Yeah, Isabella was just saying that, and you spurned her opportunity, her one opportunity of a contribution to this episode by talking over her. So that's a point deduction for Kirby.
Thank you. Okay, then I can get another point deducted then.
Why? Who is eating?
Me.
Not me.
Would you like to refer to the rules page, Kirby?
Yes, I know. You didn't hear me. I said I'm about to do something, get another point deducted.
Oh, God. That's not a point.
It was a demonstration.
That is a blooming strike one, and get to strike three, you get your phone line cut off. Anyway. Okay, where are we going? So what's this bit, Isabella?
So Bill has that slime on her neck, and we're trying to figure out how they got it off.
I know this bit.
Sunlight.
They use
this
sunlight.
This bit is when Bill confesses that she's a lesbian.
Oh, that's right, yeah. She's referring to that really good scene of when it's a bit of a repeat of the scene we had in that haunted house story, but the soldier's taken a shine to her, and she has to explain that she's not interested in blokes, and then we find out one of the other Roman soldiers is of a similar ilk. Of course, the Romans...
actually, a lot of Romans swung both ways quite happily.
They didn't have
their leader swung both ways.
Yeah, there wasn't a problem.
I did love the line when he said, "Oh, you're so restricted," and there was I never thought of it that way before. You know, the fact she prefers women, whereas the rest of all those Roman soldiers were quite happily with blokes and girls and. Yeah. Yeah, it's not quite my taste, but
that's what the Romans were like.
They weren't there, yeah.
Yeah, so that was quite a good little scene. The Doctor has lots of little heart-to-hearts with that little tick woman called
Car. Does she remind you of Maisie Williams or what?
A little bit.
Car!
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 And then of course there was a point in which the Doctor said, "Oh, I want my friend back," and stuff like that. Of course, she's sort of rounded all the Roman soldiers together, and the Doctor and Nardole have rounded the sort of ticks together, and eventually a tunnel is found that puts them all together. I think the tunnel, isn't it the tunnel where the monster has been travelling through? I don't know.
Yes.
No, the monster was trying to get to where the Romans were and just found a way in. It just happened to be directly underneath the Picts' main building.
In when Bill went through the hole.
Oh, there you go. They found a way in when Bill went through the hole. So they all land out together. They're going to have a fight initially, but the Doctor sort of explains to them that they're either going to kill each other or they're going to get killed, and the whole of their solar system will be destroyed, etc., etc. Because this particular monster eats light. This bit didn't make sense to me, absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't really understand either.
So why is it skulking around in the dark if it eats light?
And eating people. What does that have to do?
Why is it? People aren't light, are they? Why is it eating people? Yeah. And also, when they're shining light on it, it causes it a problem if it eats light.
Exactly. That's explained by the little discs that the Doctor has made them make, which are they're the same thing as Carr had as one of her weapons.
It changes the light.
It poisons the light.
Yeah. Okay, I accept that. But other than that, I couldn't understand why it's eating people, because people aren't light, and why it's skulking around in the dark when it should really be skulking around in daylight, where it'd be in its element, I would have thought.
And the Doctor says it feeds on light, but it hones in on sound. It's like, all of a sudden, whoa, where did that come from?
Well, you're saying that light is where sound is. I'm a bit confused.
I don't know.
Yeah. But it culminates in the idea the Doctor has of getting the creature back into the void, and then of course it's going to have to be guarded there, and he's going to guard it, and of course they won't have that because human life is
he's gonna guard it.
So they basically overpower the Doctor and take control of the situation, and all of them basically, the brother of
Alec,
who has to write
like because I know him.
Who has to write some information on the wall, and of course they tell the crow to remember the name. So the crow will then go on to say the name forever. All right.
Car.
And
you gotta wonder why Car. Everybody else is sacrificing themselves too, so why just?
Because that's what crows say. So whenever you hear a crow call,
she was the leader.
I can hear a pigeon.
She was their leader.
But that's fine. It's a leader. That's
why do I hear morning doves or something?
It's a pigeon. Can I just say
where?
Here.
Yeah. All right. Can I just say I really like that.
Shouldn't it be a car?
I really like that aspect of the story. The fact that the name was spoken by crows forevermore. I quite like that bit. That was quite romantic.
And we will never forget that. That we'll go to our graves remembering that about crows.
Yeah. And then that's basically the end of the story. They go into the TARDIS and there's Missy lying down reading a book of some
writing. Who may or may not be becoming not evil?
No, obviously that's not going to happen. But at the moment, it's quite an interesting aspect of Missy. She's going to be the Doctor basically in the next story. Next episode at least. And of course, after they've done that little scene of the, what we're going to do with Missy, and there's a lovely little scene between Missy and the Doctor where he says, the worst thing that happened, we could end up being friends again. And then they cut back to the little girl listening to the music on the thing. And then we see a little trailer for next week, which looks quite exciting.
Which has John Sims in it.
Indeed.
Yeah, I did not recognize him at the end at first.
Did you not?
No, and then I watched the trailer again. Went, oh, wait a second, that's John Sim with a master's beard.
Indeed. Anyway, before I move on to what I think of this particular story, Joshua Dybul says, spot on, Mary. This series has been great, but overall a bit boring in many respects. Right, this is what I thought of this story. I really quite enjoyed the story, apart from the bit I said that didn't make sense for me, the light-eating creature that lived in the dark, etc., etc. I actually really, really quite enjoyed it. I thought it was really good fun and very riveting and gripping and worth a second and third viewing very close together. I really quite enjoyed it. What do you think of it, Isabel?
I'm kind of the same with you. I didn't understand the eating humans part and it's light. I didn't get it. Are we light then?
See, another reference to old Doctor Who, the light thing from the Sylvester McCoy story. What was that one called?
I don't know
because
I never watched it.
Curse of Fenric?
No, it wasn't Curse of Fenric. You're talking about Ghostlight.
Ghostlight, yes. The last one ever made.
Ding, ding. Thank you.
Yeah, that's like the reference for light. Which, sorry, Isabella, carry on.
Who knows? Maybe that was deliberate because even though Rita Monroe, who wrote this one, her story was the last classic Doctor Who, Ghostlight was the last one actually made.
Okay, carry on, Isabella.
Thank you. I didn't really understand the beginning part of the girl. She was like, rawr!
Was she?
Yeah. Oh. Like with Bill.
Oh, that bit. I thought you meant the little girl on the hill. Yeah, okay. Well, she was protected. She was thought Bill was some sort of invader to her territory. So she didn't know she wasn't going to be, although she wasn't armed, she didn't know that she wasn't going to be friendly, did she?
Well, she is a cat.
Maybe she was imitating a cat person from Survival.
Overall, I thought it was really good.
Okay, Andy, what did you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, yes, it's been two really good episodes. I thought the doctor took total command. The way he said, "You both are kids," and they just backed off so quickly was wonderful. But they realised that, yeah, they are a bunch of kids. I mean, 18 years old is the most senior. I mean, that little lass who was the gatekeeper, well, like 15 was she? But then they all stood up at the end of it. They all, you know, they all got the guts and stood up great.
Stop it.
I think this is one of the best I've seen this season. I say, I think the corpse one, the monks one, utter dire. Dreadful. But Empress of Mars and this one really have turned the whole season round. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you, Andy. Kirby, what did you think?
I really liked it. Didn't like it as much as Empress of Mars, but very close to it. I do recall that there were explanations as far as the eating light and stuff, but I didn't let that bother me because it was just such a well-told story. It didn't matter. And it was just very, very well done. I'm glad to see, what's her name? Rita Monroe. Is that the name of the author?
Possibly.
Yes.
Glad to see her back and I hope to have Rona Monroe. Sorry.
Thank you.
Hope to have more stories from her. She is the only person to have written for both Classic and Modern Who.
What did she write in Classic Who, sorry?
Survival.
That's interesting. I never knew that. Did you know that? Yeah. I know you probably mentioned it earlier on, but
a lot of what
Kirby says
it.
Does this. It just goes over my head.
I just referenced it. I know the very last story that we saw.
Yeah, I know you said this. Classic. All right, thank you. I'm just saying, a lot of things you say, I'm concentrating on other things I don't quite get.
Basically, a friend of the show, Andrew, is responsible for getting her into writing for Doctor Who. Splendid. And here she is back again.
Good for her and good for us. Oh, great then. But is it? Mary?
Okay. After what seemed like a exciting start, this thing for me just kind of fizzled down to dead boring. Sitting through scenes of people talking about things, I felt like there were so many wasted scenes. I mean, what do we care which way the Roman army swings sex-wise? Why do we have to have these long conversations?
Because Doctor Who's been hung up on that since RTD joined.
Oh my God, yeah. You know, and it's like, who cares? Get on with the story. You know, it's not relevant to anything. You know, if it were, that would be okay. But it ends up being relevant to nothing. And the whole popcorn scene, I mean, didn't we all see that one coming?
Held
up his bag and said, I've got popcorn. It's like, okay, Doc's going to use it somehow. Sure enough, Doc uses it.
Don't call me Doc.
I don't know. It just and so many things didn't make sense, like the eating light. I mean, that didn't seem like it was actually happening anywhere, because he was eating humans, but I didn't see what effect that had on the light. And then the doctor's saying, but he hones in on sound. It's like, okay, what is this creature they have? And when it comes galloping along, to me, it just looked like a big horned rhinoceros with some, you know, CGI, you know, sparkly tails coming out of its mouth.
I liked it, Mary.
Oh, I didn't. The monster to me was just horrible. and I question, how does Carr know that it is weak and nearing death? I mean, it seemed pretty powerful to me, and it's still eating people. So what is it that makes it weak and near death that makes her say that? What do I have right? Oh, the closing scene when they're going through the portal, to me, looked like an episode of Stargate. Everybody's headed off into another world. it's a pretty, but I don't know. Yeah, I was bored with it. I sure hope that we get some better storytelling with the next. How is it that Big Finish can give us 2-hour-long stories that are totally engaging, but we can't even do a 45 or 50-minute story that doesn't have time-wasting scenes in it?
They just had 2 totally engaging stories. Oh, well.
Andy, you're blowing into your microphone.
Master,
so that's sorry. What I think. And I agree that I already said, you know, that this whole season to me is a bit of a letdown. And I think a lot of these little throwbacks to classic Who references and all that are just to kind of keep us hanging in there.
Isn't everybody just slightly disappointed that Mary didn't like it?
I'm slightly disappointed. Now, Master, I have one more thing to say.
Go on then, quickly.
As I was saying, there's little references back to either classic or modern. I'm trying to think of the classic reference, but the modern reference was actually a little bit of one of the reasons why I didn't like this one as much as the last week, in that the creatures on the other side of the portal were too much like the stingrays in Planet of the Dead. And that if only one gets through, it's the end of the universe.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
It looked like somebody filmed a bunch of swimming fish and that they did CGI with that. Yeah, it did.
Okay. Good points, everybody. Good points. But on the whole, I quite enjoyed the story. Right, then, moving on. We've got some feedback.
Master.
Obviously, we haven't got any feedback.
No. Master, be sure to play Ian's second recording from last week, not the first. He rewrote it.
I'll try my best. Anyway, Isabella's now going to read Jeff Waddles.
Hey. Well, that was really good, wasn't it?
In reference to the last story from last week, this is, of the Ice Warrior story, sorry.
Gattis finally delivers a story that equals, and in some way betters, his first one. I lost count of the references to classic Who, some obvious, some not so, at 17. And I lost count of references to horror/action films at about
the
same time. It's
references, darling. References. Okay, thank you, Kelly.
But I didn't detract from the story, which was simple enough, but well acted, looked great, and most importantly enough, was great fun. The Ice Warriors have never looked better, even the new Predator Queen, and I almost spilled my wine at Alpha Centauri turning up and who voiced her/him. I previously spilled my wine at the We're British line from one of my favourite horror films, Horror Express, and I love Zulu, so I was always going to like the soldiers. There wasn't anything to really fault in this, almost flawless. And now I'll hand you over to
dissertation. And now I'll hand you over to a dissertation
of British colonialism and its affected still to its affected Effect Still bit? Felt Today were written by Alan T. Butcher, Almost MB. Have fun. Cheers.
Got through that in the end, didn't we?
Yeah, I thought it was it.
Talking about Alan Butcher.
Debbie's not here to read it.
You read it then.
Oh, God. Dear 20 megabytes, I hope to have a chance to catch up my reviews this week, but I am afraid the outfall from the general election has left me still hard at it. That's what the
hermaphrodites hexapod said.
Rest assured, I will catch up next week at all costs. At what a comacopia.
Contemporaneous.
What?
Contemporaneous.
No, he said what a compendium of
comacopia. 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 And contemporaneous.
Okay. Political analysis this season has afforded us how Mr. Moffat detected the exigency of the messages to inform the public. So many general elections issues is a mystery. Thank you all political hues that wished me well at the election. I was very pleased with my progress and it was a very remarkable experience. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher, Labour parliamentary candidate for Bognor
Regis.
I can't say
Bognor Regis in Littlehampton. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you.
Right, I'm not allowed to play that one according to Kirby, so we'll not play it. There's this one. They are going to read this one because it's from Geoffrey Williams. I'm pretty sure we haven't had one from Geoffrey Williams for quite a long
you're
time.
You're reading it.
Hello, folks. This is Geoffrey, not the Waddle. And I would like to share some feedback on Empress of Mars. The story as a whole was very good. I found myself glued to the TV throughout the episode, whereas I cannot say that about the other shows in this series. As usual, Pete Capp gives an awesome performance. Sorry to keep you up, Andy. The plot was solid and very enjoyable. Seeing Missy peek around the TARDIS console at the Doctor was priceless. Michelle Gomez is amazing, and her portrayal of the Master is the perfect counterpoint to Capaldi's Doctor. Both will be missed. Although, who says she's going? That's me, sorry, I didn't put that bit. Just one more series for this cast without Moffat would have been outstanding. I agree with that. Now, I really need your help. There is one thing that is driving me absolutely mad. It's Kirby. No, it's not me. When Nardole returned to the TARDIS for the ropes and supplies, why did she, the TARDIS, take off and return to the present-day university to Missy's vault? Why?
It was the hostile action thing, display system.
Okay. And why was she being stubborn and not launching for Nardole to return to Mars? It was as though she abandoned the Doctor and Bill. Did she want Missy to pilot her? I'm confused.
Yes,
keep up the great work, folks. I look forward to hearing you all each week. Yes, yeah, sorry, Kirby.
I said yes, I think so. I think that it's the TARDIS goes where the Doctor is needed and does things to help the Doctor. Therefore, I think that was all planned by the TARDIS.
Okay. Geoff Waddle. Sorry to keep you up, Andy. The summary of this looks like a wish list of things that would be right up my street. Picts, Scottish setting, Scottish folklore, best TARDIS team for ages. Andy!
What? I'm not doing anything!
Can you mute your microphone until you need to speak? The best TARDIS team for ages, a mysterious monster. And yet, I can't figure out why it was so dull and flat. It was basically another monster escapes from a rift, and they put it back episode. Oh, well, yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry. So another monster escapes from a rift, and they put it back episode, which is, we spoke about that earlier. We've seen this before many times. Didn't get to know enough about any of the Romans or Picts, so I couldn't care less when they sacrifice themselves. The Doctor willing to sacrifice himself to guard the rift didn't sit right here. And don't start me on Bill suddenly liking the whole Roman history thing. totally out of the blue, and she likes the Roman history so much she wasn't aware they liked men and women. That's a good point. She's bordering on going into Clara whatever the episode needs her to be routine, and that's what was just a mess. Talking crows, give me a break. I got that. I got from the start that they were saying doctor, but I thought they were saying master. Though apparently the text says monster. Good point. So that's crows we've had now. Ravens last year, and the doctor travels with a blackbird. I'm sensing a link here. While next week's looks good, I no doubt it will be. I'm half expecting episode 12 to go belly up as usual, and I wouldn't be surprised to see bloody big bird as has been hiding in the vault. Okay, now I have
Good job, Jeff. You brought up some good points.
He did it. He always does, though, doesn't he? Bless him.
Yeah, he does.
I'm hoping I'm playing the right audio here, Kirby, because I've got three from it.
Okay, so it should be the second and third that you got.
I've got one from June the 11th and two from June the 18th.
So I think.
Probably the one from June the 11th and the second one from June the 18th.
Right. So we play the June the 11th one then.
If you go into YouTube and type in "talking crows and ravens," there are plenty of cases because they are very smart birds.
Oh yes, I'm sure they are. Yeah, they're sort of related to all that sort of birds, like the what's that type of bird that's.
Minor bird?
Minor bird, yeah, that's it. They're related to minor birds, so yeah. Anyway, can we get on?
Of course, but I have to.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. In the Bognor Regis and Littlehampton constituency, the 20 Megabyte Podcast increased its share of the vote by 11%. This might be because of Pearl Mackie in Series 10. The Empress of Mars by Mark Gatiss. This is set in 1881, 2 years after the Master, Zulu War.
Oh, I got to pause
Stop playing this one.
What?
This is not the right one.
How'd you know that?
I'm reading his comment. It says, I have just sent Adam Pearson a new extended version of my feedback for Empress of Mars. He should play the one I sent him. He should not play the one I sent him last week. Oh. So the two today are the correct ones.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast.
I did ask him that, didn't I? Did I not ask him that?
In the Bognor Regis and Littlehampton constituency, the 20 Megabyte Podcast increased its share of the vote by 11%. This might be because of Pearl Mackie in Series 10. Empress of Mars by Mark Gatiss. This is set in 1881, 2 years after the Zulu War. Mark Gatiss has said he was inspired by that war. Amazing that the space probe had the message on Mars the right way up, and so well framed, under the ice. It seems the hostile action displacement system took the TARDIS away from Mars. This might be a plot device to get missing in the TARDIS by the end. Usually a rock slide or something prevents the Doctor from using the TARDIS to solve a crisis.
Oh dear.
Nardo was not new to being in this story when it was first written, then had a small part in a later version. The Doctor told the Empress the surface was covered with ice, and he would flood the caves with it by firing through the ceiling. When they're spelling out the message, there is no ice. Queen Victoria was Empress of India, and here we have the Empress of Mars.
Yeah, cool.
When Vincey pulls out a photo of his girlfriend, we know he's a red shirt. Red jacket. Bill fell down to the ground.
Bill found.
Nice to see Alpha Centauri again.
It was.
Mary and Debbie are surrounded by noisy males.
I'm not sure what he's implying there. Thank you, Andy.
He just preferred my quote instead of.
I didn't understand that. Mary and Debbie, what?
Surrounded by noisy males.
We were laughing over his other joke. He said, Bill fell down to the ground.
Oh, okay.
It's just directed at Isabella.
No, it's not. Yeah. Ian Kirk says, no, play both from June the 18th. So Kirby trying to take credit for me knowing that I was playing the wrong one. when Ian actually
said
so.
I got you to change it.
And Jeff Waddle says, red wine is the best. None of this white nonsense. So, moving on. That was thank you, Ian. I've got another one from Ian, which goes a bit like this. Let's see if I can get it right this time.
Hello, Team Member Podcast. I'm Ian Kirk.
I nearly got it right.
Eaters of Light by Ronald Munro. Something similar to last week's story. There was a modern-day pre-credit sequence, which was explained by the main story. There was a band of warriors led by a female. Bill fell down to the ground. The oldest Roman soldier in this was 18. As the song says, the average age in Vietnam was 19. In a Matt Smith story, Amy's favourite book was about Pandora's box, and Rory became a plastic Roman. Bill's favourite book seems to be The Eagle of the Ninth by Rosemary Sutcliffe. I've heard the story of the Ninth Legion before. They recorded it as being in the north of England in the year 120. That was the last record of them. There was no longer a Ninth Legion in the year 168. Yesterday, when the story was broadcast, it was hot and sunny. The creature would have liked that. Nardole is having an adventure in a dressing gown, like Arthur Dent in The Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, yeah.
Rona Munro's last TV story was Survival, in Sylvester McCoy's final year. It seems she only does stories for departing Scottish doctors. The Scots warrior makeup was okay. At least they did not do the full Braveheart. One for the world? Open out.
Brilliant. From Ian Kirk. Right, Isabella, you need to do me a favour.
Jeff Waddle points out to Ian that they were picks. Scotland had not been named then. So they're not Scots warriors.
Thank you for that. Right. Okay, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to lose.
Yeah, I will.
No,
I
will.
I'm going to lose. Is that fine? I did that last time, she was fine.
I'll try and keep the questions away from her. Okay, this week we're not doing questions on last week's story because I never had time to write them. It's only from this week's story. I studied it for no reason. Yeah, sorry, didn't have time. Only just about had time to do this week's story. So I didn't have time. So what we're going to do, let's have a look who we've got on this thing. We've got Mary. Who do you think is going to win?
I think you're going to win.
Yeah. How am I going to win? Not in the quiz. I'm not in it. How can I win, you silly woman? Who do you think's going to win?
You get points, remember?
No, I don't. It goes into a bonus pot. So who do you think's going to win then, Mary?
Oh, okay.
That's changed. Okay.
No, then I'll pick Kirby.
Kirby, right, okay. Okay, right. And who do you think's going to be bottom of the pile? We've got
me.
Mary.
How dare you not see me?
It's always me.
No,
okay.
No, Isabel, you were not at the last time.
Last time it was me.
Andy, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
It's like a theme developing here. And who do you think is going to be bottom?
Me.
And Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Andy.
And who do you think is going to be bottom?
Isabella.
Yay!
Somebody loves you, Isabella.
Isabella, who do you think is going to win?
I'm going to say Mary.
Oh, you fool.
Ironic draft there from Mary. And who do you think is going to be bottom?
Me.
All right. So, there we go. Right, everybody's got a joker each.
Darn, I still haven't made a sign in my new setup.
I did.
To remind me.
I made.
And away we go. First question goes to Mary. I'll just put my icon over. Oh, God, this is going to be difficult for me. I've got so many things I've got to put my icons over. That sounds a bit rude, but I have. Where's my bell? All right, there's my bell. So we've got to add some points, didn't we? Earlier on, Andy got a point.
Yo.
I don't know how he managed that.
Kirby got deducted 2 points.
Yeah,
no, only one.
He got deducted a point, but he got a point earlier on, so he's on zero. Right. So the only person within credit is Andy.
No, minus one.
No, it's not minus one. You can get a minus one if you...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Right then. Mary, this is your question.
Yes,
Who wanted to hear the music at the beginning
of
the story?
Oh, it was that little girl, but I don't know her name.
Okay,
I know.
Okay, so did what we do is we do this. And hang on, Mary says she knows. Mary.
No, Kirby says she knows.
Sorry. Kirby, see, stop interrupting me.
Yeah,
Kirby.
It was Mary's question.
Yes, yeah, all right, thank you, Kirby. Who is it?
Judy.
Wrong, it's just Judy.
Judy.
Right, next question goes to Andy.
Okay.
What, according to legend, was annihilated in battle?
No idea.
Okay, so we're going to go with this. Hang on. And we put 1 point in the bonus pot. Well, that says 21 now, only one. Who said they knew?
I did.
Mary said she knew, so I'm just going to put the icon over Mary's doodah. Mary, what is it?
The Roman, the Ninth Legion.
No, I had that down.
It's the correct answer. Right, so next one goes to Kirby.
Master.
What was Bill sent? Andy, you're rubbing your microphone again.
Andy, stop moving around. Have you considered putting it on a table and just leaving it alone?
You haven't got the thingy for it.
I beg your pardon.
That's... Right, anyway, back to the quiz. Kirby, what was Bill sent to check?
Sorry.
What was Bill sent to check?
Joker.
Yeah.
The river.
Amazing. Right, so we delete his Joker. That goes down to zero. And his score gets one of the five of those. There we go. Look at that. Woo-hoo. Isabella, this is the one. What did the crow say? Sorry, what did the crow first say to Nardole?
Joker, yeah. Dark.
All right, girl.
Well, that was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it? Bonus question. There's 2 points on the bonus pot. And it's this. What did the Celt stroke picks think the doors between... Oh, God.
Can you say that in English, please?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Can you?
Well, let me speak
then. Speaking Latin.
What did the Celts stroke picks think were the doors between worlds?
I think I know.
Nope. Go on in, Mary.
The Cairns.
Dang it.
Yay.
You could have played your Joker then.
You could have, Mary.
Yeah. Next question. Oh, Ghost. Oh, we'll have a score update.
Okay.
Well, I've got to delete the bonus question.
No, we don't. No, you don't want to do that. No, you don't. No.
Mm-hmm. In last place with 1 point is Andy. In third place with 3 points is Mary. In second place with 4 points is Isabella. And the lead with 5 points, it's Kirby. The dog has just entered the room. So anything could happen. Next question goes to... Mary. Mary gets the next question.
Yes.
What had disintegrated in the body?
I know.
Disintegrated in the body. I don't know. No.
Hang on. I've got to be an octopus to do this job. This is terrible. All right, Isabella, we've established that you know. Grief.
All the rest of us know.
Bones.
What was it?
Bones.
Right. Okay.
Andy.
Okay, yeah.
Who dug the trap that Bill fell down?
I know.
Too late.
Is that a guy who... I've no idea what his name was. I forget it. No.
Right, who said I know, sorry?
Kirby.
Me.
Kirby. Go on in, Kirby.
Yeah, it's the Picts did. I mean, why would the Romans have dug one that he would fall down in?
Essentially, yes. But in the script, they called him what?
Barbarians.
Oh,
I'm going to give you a point there because he was a bit. I'll give you both a point each.
Oh, yay!
You weren't being very, very. You're right, but it's not quite the word I was looking for. A bit point each. Right, who had that question originally? I've lost
me. That
was right. So Andy's. Kirby's question now. Question for Kirby is this: how was Bill to find the rest of the Legion? How was it?
to go down to the river and find the fish.
Whoa.
The fish carving.
What a good answer that is. That is a very good answer there from Mr. Kirby. But it's Sloan, everybody.
Is your Joker Kirby?
I played it.
Okay. Isabella's question.
Oh, God, here we go.
What was the name of the Roman soldier Bill first met?
What's on second?
Simon.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be on the joke now.
What was it?
Simon.
Simon, yeah.
I know, it's mental.
Bonus points are two. There are two bonus points available for this question. What was Car? She wasn't a warrior. She was a... According to the doctor.
I think I know.
Go on, Andy.
Gatekeeper.
No, she was a...
So another bonus question.
I think I know.
Go on, Em.
Child?
Oh, dear.
I don't know.
No, that's the end of the bonus round. No. It's not the child. Oh, go on, go on in, Mary. It's up to 4 points now.
Please get it, Mary.
She a guardian?
No, that's it. That's the last go on it. It was embryo.
What?
Embryo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so they will move, the bonus spot stays at 4 for the next round. And the next question goes to Mary.
Oh.
How long was the doctor in the cairn?
I know.
You won't get this
according, exactly. According to
exactly. Who? Hang on, the question is, how long was the doctor in the cairn according... No, it just says, how long was the doctor in the cairn?
Because there's two
according
answers.
To Nardole, essentially.
Oh, okay. Right.
Oh, that's the Joker.
Go on, then.
2 days, 8 hours, 5 minutes.
No.
Mary, brilliant.
Well done, Mary. I had that down.
Okay, that's well worth that? It. That's well really done, Mary. Weird. I don't think she really well earned those points. Andy.
Okay.
All right. Who fancied Bill?
I know.
Oh, God, he's a bloke with black hair who...
Well, you all have black hair.
...swung both ways, and I haven't got a faintest idea.
I know.
Hang on, and let me catch up with myself. I'm doing this single-handedly. Go on then, Isabella, who was it?
Lucius. Which is amazing for me, because it's
how
Lucius
Malfoy. How did you
get Malfoy
these names? Because there only one soldier refers to another soldier by name. Otherwise,
can I give the honest answer, but don't take offence to it?
Okay, go on.
We paid attention.
Well, maybe I was...
There's other names. We also know about Vitus and at least one other name.
I was happy
so how did you get
when
those names?
It was Lucius.
They
Lucius
have a conversation where they use them.
Yes, exactly. Sorry, that's what we're saying. Pay attention. Right then. So that was Andy's question, wasn't it? So the next question goes to Kirby.
Oh, I can't. What?
Oh, for God's sake.
What is it?
Which Roman was gay?
All of them.
Vitus.
He just talked about it.
Isabella's question.
Okay.
What did Bill promise the Romans? You won't get this one.
Wait.
I'll put over the.
Oh, I know. I know.
Mary knows.
Oh, I know. Mary's there first. Yeah.
You all won't die in a hole in the ground.
What is going on?
Oh my God!
What the answer there or something?
Really?
Let me know what's going on.
I thought you said they wouldn't die in a hole.
I'm getting a bit suspicious here.
By the way, Master, when you have a question that you are like the one I got, where it just you know that the person's going to know it, and it just comes up in a weird way. You could do what I do when I do trivia questions at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Mix the questions up.
Thank you, Mr. I've been doing this for bloody 4 years, and he's trying to interfere with the way we do it. No! Right, next question. Who's that for?
Should we do a score update?
No, who's that last question for?
That was the last question for Nicole, me, we so do a score update.
No, we haven't finished round. I've got 6 bonus points to play for in this next question.
Bonus part. Oh, God. Here
you go. Right. What did Nardole say... But this is a free-for-all, it's a bonus point question. What did Nardole say in a Scots accent?
Oh, what was it?
Oh.
I know.
Go on, Anna.
But I can't say it in the
You
in
don't
the
have
accent.
To, just say the line.
Welcome to our land.
Dang it.
Here's the correct
Why didn't
answer.
I have that down?
I don't know, I'm just saying, that's what the answer is.
I'm dumb.
So maybe I'm not reading the blooming thing. Right, the scores at the end of that round are in last place with 1 point, it's Andy. In third place with 7 points, it's Mary.
Boy, did I mess up with my prediction.
In second place with 11 points, it's Isabella. In the lead with 16 points, it's Kirby.
That's a shocker.
It's a shocker, yeah. Right then. Andy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Put the device on a table.
Right. Moving on. Whose question is this? Sorry, it's Mary's question.
My. No, okay, sorry.
Mary.
That's mine.
What did the doctor say the creatures were?
I know.
Light-eating locusts?
Yeah.
I think that's annoyed Isabella.
That's really annoyed Isabella.
I don't know why I wrote that down. I was like, oh, okay.
Andy, right. You still
Andy, this is the last chance for you to play your joker.
Play your joker.
Okay.
And this is the question. How long has the doctor been standing at the gates of our world?
According to who? Okay, right. According to him, joker, 2 seconds.
What? No.
I know.
You had to play your joker anyway, but that's fine. Hang on. I've got to adjust the scores here. Bear with me. Right. Who said I know?
I think Mary said it first.
Go on, Mary.
Yeah, Mary, go on.
Just the beginning of time.
Not exactly.
Okay. No. Sorry. That's the end of it. Sorry. Only two goes at these questions.
Nope.
The answer is.
Well, can I say what it is?
Go on then.
Since you all crawled out of the slime.
Correct, but you can't get any points.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right, so the next question goes to...
Andy.
No,
that was Andy's question.
Oh, it's Kirby then.
Kirby. Hang on, we've got to move his icon. Right, this is Kirby's last question. Why did the Cairn become unstable?
I don't know.
I know. Go on in, Isabella. Up another point in the bonus spot, which nobody can play for.
Too many people went in there.
Bing.
Boy, I think I've made my predictions completely backwards.
Same, actually.
Go for Isabella. Oh, no. Let's go. This is Isabella's question. There is a point.
Yeah, this is my
bonus
question
spot question
now.
Available.
No, this is my question.
Yeah,
now.
So this is the last before the bonus spot question.
Oh, God, here we go.
What did Missy say they should always try and avoid?
I actually don't know that one.
I think I know.
I think Kirby knows. Yeah, go on.
Getting ideas.
Right, that's correct.
It's the way also.
So, there's 6 points in the bonus pot for this question. Everybody pay attention.
Okay, ready.
Are you ready?
I'm getting right at the bottom.
Are you ready? What did Missy suggest they hide?
I know.
Go on then.
Geeta.
Ooh, boy.
It's like, right. Oh my god, my house.
So,
that was like lightning.
At this stage, the scores of the quiz are this. In last place with 1 point was Andy.
Yay!
Third place with 9 points is Mary. Second place with 17 points is Kirby. And in the lead so far is Isabella with 18 points.
Wow.
No, wow. I'm shocked to myself.
Mary predicted Kirby to win and doesn't gain anything
wrong.
From that. And she therefore predicted herself to be last and doesn't gain anything from that either. Right. Andy predicted Kirby to win and doesn't get any points from that.
Wrong.
And himself to be last. So doubles his score there.
Yeah!
Kirby rather bizarrely predicted Andy to win and didn't get that right.
He's
and
done
predicted
well before.
Isabella to be the bottom and therefore didn't do very well there. Isabella predicted Mary to win, dearie me, and predicted Isabella to be last, so didn't get anything there either. So the final scores of the quiz are, in last place, this is a moment of history, in last place with 2 points is, find the appropriate sound effect for the next last place with 2 points was Andy, in a third place with 9 points Mary, in second place with 17 points Kirby, but the winner for the first time ever, never thought this would ever happen.
Yay.
Is Isabella, for goodness sake, what's going on?
Yeah, well done, Isabella.
I am changing my predictions next time.
Yeah, me too.
Isabella, well done.
I just paid attention to the episode.
Getting some hallelujah music.
Right, you might actually show the notes that she wrote down.
I didn't write. I didn't really write many down.
You didn't write many down at all, did you? No.
No, I didn't actually.
Master. Okay, look. All right, there's Isabella's notes. I don't know if you can see that properly. There we are. You see it well?
Oh. Isabella's my goodness. She's more notes than I had.
Yeah.
How she prepared managed to tie them up with particular answers.
I have no notes at all. I watched it at lunchtime today. Then we went out for a walk.
Look at her face.
Hey, Isabella, well done, mate.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Good on you.
What is this quiz coming to when somebody who doesn't like Doctor Who wins it? I think that means they have to give up.
She takes better notes.
Well, I'm at least winning it.
I wrote on your port.
We'll have all bet on her next time and we'll all lose.
Right, okay, so Dr.
Master.
What?
We missed some feedback for Eaters of Light that were on the Facebook group asked.
Would you like to partake in reading that out?
Certainly. Joshua Dyball said Empress 8 out of 10, Eaters 7 out of 10. Both great episodes, but especially Empress of Mars. I've finally been impressed with the Gatiss episode. Very enjoyable scenes with Missy at the end of Eaters. Anyone who knows the Master well knows she is never to be trusted. Looking forward to finding out what she's up to. Jeff and Ian, we heard from Lori Nix at work. So stealing Facebooking my thoughts, whatever. Stealth Facebooking my thoughts. I enjoyed both episodes because they're so retro Who. Mm. Sure, there were inconsistencies in silliness and Lovecraftian dinosaur monsters, but we needed a couple of romps. Plus, I love the historical episodes.
Romps.
I didn't get it.
Carry on.
As for Missy, no amount of Stockholm Syndrome conditioning can turn the Master good. The Doctor forgets he is not a licensed therapist, and even if he is one, he's incapable of being impersonal / unbiased. Jeff Waddle says the creatures swimming in the rift were the hippos swimming in the BBC ident.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
So that's all of those.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. Right, let's move on to a bit of news. Debbie loves doing these eaters of the reaction quotes, but I haven't got time to read. My eyes are going cross-eyed.
I think
generally it's quite good feedback from the papers. I'm trying to see if the Games Radar felt the threat in the story was confusing. Den of Geek thought the episode was missing something. IGN appraised the supporting cast. Real Bits felt the episode was old school Doctor Who, which I think is what it was aiming at. And TV Fanatic felt it was a good solid episode. So mixed, right. Mainly positive, but also
I better go to bed.
Isabella's going to go to bed and celebrate and dream about winning. You won't get this
Yay.
One for the rest of time.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Savor it.
She got me a Father's Day card, by the way, unlike some daughters. Anyway, right. Off you go then.
I haven't gotten anything for Father's Day.
Oh, good. I feel much better now. Right then. So the overall view not figures are going down rapidly. Because it's blooming hot here, everybody's out the beach. 2.89 million viewers watched Eaters of Light.
Again, that's people watching it when it was on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People down the beach. It's so hot at the moment. People aren't going to generally. I was at a wedding, so I couldn't watch it when it was out. But it's quite low. Uh-oh. I thought she was coming back in for a minute then.
So does that mean that Doctor Who is going to be cancelled?
Well, if the writer of Survival has written this one, possibly. Anyway, there's an image been released for the finale. It's rather cool, actually, the Doctor with the...
Yes, it is. I've considered changing my Facebook little icon.
Yes, I want that picture, so I'm going to try and get it onto my desktop.
To that.
Oh, I got it. I'll show you what the resolution is. It's not good enough resolution for my desktop.
Did anyone notice in the preview for next week that Bill, when she's walking down that corridor with an IV, is going between people who are basically Mondasian Cybermen before they've had other things attached to them.
When was that? The preview?
They said they were Mondasians.
No. I mean, when you see Bill in a hospital-like setting with an IV, she's pushing this IV in front of her, and the patients look like they're almost Mondasian.
Okay, no, I haven't seen that.
Like they're getting ready for conversion. They're getting ready for conversion.
So quickly, I didn't really look at the patients.
Yeah, no, yeah,
I have a feeling that they may try to start converting Bill to a Cyberman. Maybe that's how she goes away.
Okay. Oh, I never know. I was going to say, there's on the Doctor2News.net page, there's a little sort of image of the Doctor2 magazine advert available on the App Store with a picture of the Doctor as in Peter Capaldi. He looks so weird with his hair really short as he was when he first became the Doctor. It just doesn't look right now.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, what else we got? Doctor Who actors honoured by the Queen.
Yes.
June Whitfield is now Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire. It was Dame June Whitfield. About time too, I say. Sarah Lancashire has been made OBE. Actor David Walliams has been...
It's OBE, okay.
Actress Gugu Mthembu, who is an MBE, was she? She was, Triss Jones, sister of Martha. Obviously this would be of interest to Mary and all of us really, because I do like Big Finish, I just don't get time to listen to it. But Derek Jacobi is returning as the Master for Big Finish, as the War Master to be precise, and that sounds really exciting. I tell you what, Big Finish have got some fascinating and brilliant stuff coming up, at some point I'm going to get to listen to some really good stuff. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm starting to try to listen. I listened to a very classic one a couple of weeks ago, Jubilee.
That's
which
brilliant.
I never heard before.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
That
it
was,
is really good.
The founding story for
Dalek.
Daleks, yeah, for Dalek.
What about Spare Parts, Kirby? You've not listened to that one. That's a must.
I haven't heard it yet.
That is a must. Try and listen to Spare Parts before next week's episode.
Yeah, I have it. I just have not. I find it very difficult to find time to listen to these.
Yeah, I know.
But
yeah,
as I'm moving stuff around in my new geek room in the basement, I can put it on the Echo Dot and listen.
It's
I have to
brilliant.
Do pretty mindless stuff in order to listen and fully focus on the story.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. Hard to find that kind of time.
Yeah.
And Julia keeps insisting on watching shows with her in the evenings, so I don't have time in the evenings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
We're currently watching Man in the High Castle.
Okay. Moving on. Delia Derbyshire has been honoured with a blue plaque. There's a picture of Colin Baker coming out of a house, which I presume he was there to sort of do the presentation for. It says, D.A. Derbyshire, 1937 to 2001, BBC Radiophonic Workshop pioneer who influenced the course of electrical music, lived and worked here. Doesn't say anything about Doctor Who, but good for her. The Doctor's Pat Troughton years is, what is that then? Oh, a new double DVD released in the highly regarded series exploring the world of TV's Doctor Who in what would build into a complete work on the Doctor's definitive set of interviews with a team of actors who brought the Patrick Troughton era of Doctor Who to life, offering a whole new insight into the making of the classic science fiction series. A sort of like a DVD extra, but in a DVD on its own. Doctor Who Experience to close on the 9th of September, so they're doing all sorts of special events leading up to the closure. So, you know, if you can get a chance to go to the Doctor Experience, do it, because it's worth going to.
Yes.
But you talked to Jason. Did he and his girlfriend ever get over to...
No.
No, they never did. Okay.
But I will say, my photos that I took at the Experience, I'm so glad I took them now, because they do show things in a very close detail. So at least if it's not there, I can actually look back at my photos and have a look at...
I'm certain they will open another Experience.
You're
someplace.
Certain, are you? You're in talks with them, are you?
Why would they not?
Well, don't know. They didn't have one for many years. I had a few Doctor Who museums around, but they didn't have an exhibition like that for most of the history of Doctor Who. So there you go. Anyway, Doctor Who countdown concert. The BBC have announced a special screening of episode 11 of Doctor Who, complete with live music accompaniment from the National Orchestra of Wales, and it will take place on the 24th of June. That sounds fun, doesn't it? Won't get to be able to get to see that either. But I bet some of the high-ranking Doctor Who fans will. And that's about it, really. Apart from the fact that Doctor Who is number 30 in the audience ratings chart for weekend in the 4th of June. So we're going to be slipping off it soon. But anyway...
Well, that was for Lie of the Land.
Well, I don't think we'll be on it this week with less than 3 million views. Okay. That's a bit annoying, really, especially considering Britain's Got Talent's not on anymore, and it's not really up against anything on TV yet to be so low down the rankings. So they'll probably be cancelled quite soon. I'm just going to have a look at whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
To see what they... Oh, by the way, Debbie got me a pen. I don't think anybody saw that last week for my birthday. There it is. It's a very nice Doctor Who pen. It's got a Dalek that floats up and down on it. So it was very nice. Doctor Who Special Adventures in Space. Doctor Who Magazine Special, sorry. $9.99. DWM 513, with, like I say, is either the Ice Queen or the Empress or whatever. Or a old school Cyberman, as it says on the cover. Delta and the Bannermen audiobook, and some older editions of the Doctor Who magazine, all available at whowon.co.uk. Very easy way to get that particular publication regularly sent.
Right next door to you, right?
Well, it's more next door to me than it is to you, but no, it's about 13 miles away, but yeah.
Distance is being relative.
Indeed. What else we got here? There is latest products. I'm going to count the coming soon stuff. Hang on. No, that's not it. Where is it? Latest products. Yeah, not much stuff coming up, really. I was hoping to see the pre-order, but there doesn't seem to be anything on pre-order at the moment. Oh, sorry, I'm lying. Companion Chronicles, first Doctor box set. Corpse Day, it's a Torchwood story. Dollhouse. Haunting of Malkin Place. All Big Finish thingies. Myths and Legends, a book by Richard Dinnick, and Series 10 Volume 1 DVD and Blu-rays are all coming out soon. So yeah, go to whowon.co.uk. It's, well, as they say themselves, they're Doctor Who specialists, and the shop itself is quite small, but it's quite charming when you go inside and see all the Doctor Who goodies got there. But, you know, if you're looking for specific Doctor Who stuff, look at whowon.co.uk first before you look elsewhere, because they are Doctor Who fans and they love the show. Yes.
Master, it has been years and years and years since you did a video of the shop. Isn't it about time you do another one?
Probably, but I'm not going to have time to do that, but yeah.
Not immediately, but just think about it.
I will think about it, but it'll be a long time before I get to do it. Lavazzi.co.uk have a range of Doctor Who knitted items, specific for cosplayers, really, like the Fourth Doctor scarves and the Fifth Doctor jumper and the Seventh Doctor paisley scarves and jumper and brollies and everything like that. So that in itself is great fun and very exciting, especially considering that the Series 18 scarf is on sale at the moment, $29.99. And Star Trek as well. They've sold out of some of the Live Long and Prosper umbrella and the blue scarf, but they still have the red, blue and yellow umbrellas available for $26.99, and Ships of Line scarf, which is all the old Star Trek vessels in blue print on it. So yeah, great place, Lavazzi, for not just Doctor Who, Star Trek and Sherlock goodies. There's just standard fashion as well. So they're our sponsors. We love them. So as I mentioned earlier, yes?
I said yes, we love them.
As I mentioned earlier on, we will not be recording next Sunday because I've got stuff to do in the evening, so I won't be around. But we will be recording at 10 a.m. on Monday the 26th of June, where we will review what looks to be an extremely exciting episode of Doctor Who. And everybody, it's only a couple of weeks before we go back onto the journey.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going on the journey.
So, that's a bit sad in a way.
I know.
So, unless anybody else has got anything further to add. Waiting. No. Okay. Thank you for listening to the show this week. Thank you for watching on Facebook. See you again next time. Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye, y'all.
By Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.